that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, December 3rd. Yeah, November's gone. December is here. December 3rd, 2022. A little brisky here at the Radio Ranch this morning, about 15 degrees and about a 15-mile-an-hour wind, and that'll cool your jets, I guarantee you that. But we're thankful for the good weather in its season, that's for sure. We thank you for joining us. We've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. Brother Tim, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Amen. And Brother Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you too, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we welcome you. We thank you for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give us a call. If you have a comment or a question, and we'll do our best to cover that. And but we are going to open up in prayer. We encourage you to do that. I hope you've done that this morning. I hope you've prayed on the full armor of God and on you and your family, and prayed the Lord's Prayer, and thanked Him for another day, for a good night's sleep, and another day to get up and drink some good hot coffee, and to have fellowship with some like-minded believers, and to receive His blessings this day. I hope you have, but we're going to open up in prayer. Jason, we'd ask you if you would do that for us, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and I ask for your blessing upon this day and ask for your blessing upon the remnant, Father. You know where they are. You know the number of hairs on their head, Father. And we just ask, Father, for you to bless them, keep them, make your face shine upon them, be gracious to them, grant them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, peace, and patience, and see to it that their cup overflows with blessing from your throne. Lord, we ask that you continue to fight with those that fight against us. Give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to be the overcomers that that we need to be, Father. We pray, Father, that as we see all these things that are taking place, that we put our faith in you, we put our trust in you. And, Lord, we just ask that you act upon our behalf, Father, as we know that we're living in a war, we're living in difficult times, we're living in exciting times. Lord, we pray, Father, that we can be found smiling at the future, doing our part, Father. We ask that you forgive us of our sins, known and unknown, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us and ask that you just deliver your people from the hands of the enemy. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray, amen.
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 Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And we've talked the last couple weeks and really the last couple months about this potential rail strike that we were hearing rumors of and seeing it, if you look into it a little bit in the news. And, the government has just decided to make it illegal for the railroad to strike and for the employees, and has basically pushed through legislation, and our President Joe signed that into legislation, or signed it into law, however you want to put it. And so looks like no rail strike. Government says nope, keep moving, and think that's good for the economy. Certainly glad that the trains aren't stopping. What a mess that is. And we've got at least one member of the extended congregation that has worked for the railroad for many years, and been trying to stay in touch with him lately. And one of the big things, you know, a couple of things that he said was, hey, we really don't want to cause a breakdown or a slowdown or a break in the supply chain issues. Don't want to cause problems for the country. But he said, but the railroad has changed. He said, you know, and he's been there over 20 years. He said from where it used to be a good job, it used to be if you needed time off to go to the doctor, you could schedule that, to go to the dentist, to do those types of things. And he said now it's, 3 days in 3 months, you can't schedule it. And if you have to take it because you have a toothache or you're sick and have to go to the doctor, that 3 months and 90 days, then they can fire you. And he's seen things like that. And he just used that as an example of some of the changes that's come in, working 40-hour shifts away from home on the train. And you get back home and you have no set work schedule. And he said that's something that's changed in the last few years. And 10 hours off and you're called back to work. And you just don't know if you're going to get called back to work or not. And so, but anyway, so hopefully cooler heads will prevail and they'll get things worked out and
the railroad's been like that for a long time. I know several people that have retired from it. One gentleman I was talking to just recently, he retired 10 years ago, and he told me it was that way the whole time that he was going through the railroad. If you wanted time off work, you had to call in sick. And it was from the time that he started until the time that he retired. And, everybody that I know that's retired from the railroad has basically said that was the way it is, and it always has been. And, you know, that's what they signed up for.
Well, hopefully they'll get things worked out, keep the trains rolling. I know that I think, if nothing else, it's brought to mind to a lot of people just how much moves by rail. Some of the things that are just about everything in this nation that does move by rail, and then of course by truck as well. And so hopefully it'll work out and keep on. Just another part of this Babylon that, you know, when you look at it, you think, well, you know, this could be worked out a little better, or why don't they do that? But it's not, that Babylon and that business, they're not set up to further the tenets of Jesus Christ. They're not set up to, with the guiding principles of the Bible to lead, guide, and direct them. It's profit, and so that's just kind of kind of how that is. So hopefully, hey, those cars will keep rolling in from Mexico and Japan and Korea and everywhere else. And that'll just keep on rolling to keep this economy going. So,
well, you got to talk about these ungodly unions that they got out there. I mean, they were, you know, this last election, they were basically all, everybody that I don't know, and I don't know if they got different, how many different unions there's involved in as far as the train situation goes, but I know that they were told to vote Democrat. And that they were strongly encouraged to vote Democrat, and there was bonuses that if they voted Democrat, and all different other kinds of things that went along with it. So, I mean, you got to look at these. I mean, these unions basically is what they do is they come in and they want to dictate how a company is run. And, you know, when you sign up to work for a company, basically the way that it should work and the way that it's supposed to work is if you're not doing your job, you can be fired. If you don't like your job, you can quit. It's pretty plain and simple. But, you know, people put these unions and, you know, they want to rat on their employer and they want to keep logbooks and say that they were treated unjustly and this and that. You know, if you got a problem with it, quit. Quit your job. I mean, you know, that's your right.
Yeah, given today's environment of everybody needing help everywhere, you probably won't have a problem finding something else. I was laughing because Parker a few years ago they wouldn't take you unless you for any entry level position or anything else unless you had a degree of some type. You had to have something in order to work there. They wouldn't just hire somebody who graduated out of high school regardless of work experience. They're running ads right now that say, you know what, if you have a GED or even if you don't, come in and talk to us. We'll work something out. You know, it's the major about face as far as we want to see you make a career out of this. We need the help. And I just was like, wow, that's a major change. So there's some things going on out there that are very interesting that way. So,
yeah, and we've talked about this inflation, you know, highest in over 40 years, coupled with the, we hear from the government, oh, the unemployment is as low as it's ever been, 3.7%, blah, blah, blah. But everybody's got help wanted signs up. Like you mentioned, Tim, that Parker company, we've seen restaurants, we've seen businesses close down because they couldn't get people to come to work, because the had one 20-year-old working at the tire store tell me, yeah, my stupid friends sit at home on the couch and get their unemployment check, and they sit on the couch and play video games all day, and so it's a grooming, a type of grooming. We hear that in the media these days with a different connotation, but this in itself is a type of grooming, of getting the people to not have a work ethic, to not get that experience, and to say, why should I go to work? You know, the government's going to pay me. Well, what happens when that cuts off? But anyway, we now have an answer, a reason why we have this 40-year high inflation, and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was given an interview this last week. And she blamed consumers' excessive spending habits as a primary cause for the 40-year high in inflation. So you hear that, Tim? This inflation is your fault. You've caused it. And you too, Paul, and me, all of us, you know, because we've been splurging on things as a people, going out and... Anyway, I saw this headline this week and I thought, oh my gosh, but that's what, you know, it proves once again, not that it needs it, but it does our late pastor's teachings. You know, Pastor Peters, I think everybody remembered, when he would teach. And one of the many things was that he taught us that the enemy accuses you of what they are. We're called we're called haters, right? Oh, you're a hate group. You hate. No, we love. But that's what the enemy does. It's the enemy that hates, but they call you what they are. And the same thing here with this Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. It's they blame us for the problem. Oh, it's your fault. You've been spending too much money. Anyway, I saw that and it made me laugh. Like you said, Tim, it just, sometimes it does. You look at it and I didn't know if you guys had seen that or not.
It's a case of focused effort. I mean, these companies, when you hire someone, and when they work for you, no one ever, it doesn't matter how much schooling they've got, they're not going to fit into your operation without time, training, and some foresight and ability and effort on their part. So it makes no difference. You're still going to have to train them. You're still going to have to fit in. I mean, it's still going to take a while. And it's so strange to me that a lot of these companies think that if we don't have this, why, that's just not going to work. It's like, well, they've been boxed in. How do you think they're going to reorganize and recope with your system? Because the first thing, they want to make it the way that they were told it should be in school or in class or in whatever. And as a result, you're left with a lot of wasted effort and a lot of wasted time to change their mind, to retrain, to help them understand how your system works. And but that's, misery loves company. So they're going to do that. And that's what we're seeing a lot of go on these days all across the country. I think they don't know what they need. They don't know what they want. They management is, locked in their thoughts. Like, that's going to help. And, I think we're seeing a monumental chance for, and I think it's from God, for these things to change. And I think that's what's going on. There's some change coming. That's big changes. So.
Yeah, not to mention that the trillions of dollars of bailout money that was pumped into society, they sure don't like talking about that when they talk about the inflation and the inflation rate. I mean, what do you expect when you dump that much money into society and you pay that many people to stay at home and you basically give people a free pass to stay at home and collect unemployment? And I know that recently I was talking with a hotel manager from Laramie, Wyoming, and she was saying that they had a lot of people that came in from Nebraska, South Dakota, surrounding states, basically because their other states had run out of unemployment money or had halted it, or they've been kicked off of the system. So they're staying in hotel rooms. They're getting hotel rooms, the cheap hotels in Cheyenne and in Laramie, right there on the border towns, and staying in those. They're getting those comped. And then they only have to be there for 4 or 5 days before they can file for unemployment benefits. And they're getting their unemployment benefits. And basically they sit around and they have, they're supposed to keep track of, you know, that they were looking for a job or they were this or they were that. And, you know, basically they apply for a job, and they go in and somebody will say, well, this is what you have to do. Well, I can't do that because I got this problem and I can't do this and I can't do that. And so they can't get hired. And they don't want to get hired. And, there's a lot of people out there that just don't want to work.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's by design. It's by design. That's that tenet of the in the Communist Manifesto that says destroy the middle class. You cannot have a middle class. And it's the middle class in this country that's worked. You've always, as Jesus said, you've always got your poor. Let the poor, you're always going to have them. I learned a long time ago, you know, the best way to help the poor is to not be one, not be that way, work. And, and certainly that's been a tenet of this nation from the very beginning. But it's certainly under fire from every direction. It really is. When you don't train, the next generation, we've talked about that you've talked about that quite a bit, Jason, about training our replacements, certainly on the spiritual side, but that works on the physical side as well here, you know, to take over and to be able to continue to work and thrive. And it's just not it is not as prevalent as it used to be anyway. It's not.
No, skills aren't taught in society. They're not taught in home. They're not taught, you know, I mean, even, you know, shop classes and welding classes and stuff are getting taken out of high schools. And it used to be that, you know, even the homeschool groups and stuff, that they would get together and they could go to a community college or stuff like that and learn some of that stuff. And that stuff's getting harder and harder to get into and getting taken away. And, you know, that's one of the important things is we're going to need people that have skills on knowing how to do things. I mean, electricians, plumbers, construction workers, mechanics, excavators. I mean, it's, you know, these skills is that people that are in the workforce that are doing a lot of that stuff. I mean, just even on the people that I know that are building houses and stuff, they're getting older and older and older. And, you know, these guys are like, you know, I got maybe a couple more houses in me or a couple more years in me, and then I'm done and ready to retire, and they can't find replacements to take over their positions because, you know, people don't want to go to the top. They don't want to thrive. They don't want to be a boss. They don't want to be a foreman. They don't have the drive to do those kind of things. And, it's really sad. And that's what, you know, is something that's really important. I mean, I got three young boys at home, and it's, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what, where they're going to excel at and what fields to put them into, because they're going to have to learn a trade. I think that the people that I know that have went through a good trade school and have learned that is far better off than anybody that spent any time in college. I mean, the people that that learn how to work and learn to have skills, and I think that that's just going to become more and more important in the future.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely. Would encourage and recommend and require that of young people today. You know, learn a trade, whether it's welding or plumbing or HVAC or, as Jason said, mechanicking. And there are some, it's not that nobody's doing that, but there are some, it's just it should be 50 times more than it is. Our local tech school here, WyoTech, gone through some problems in the past, but the last several years they've been growing, just earlier this year they expanded. They added like a 17,000 square foot shop that they expanded into, added 400 new students on top of what they already had, and of course they're hiring instructors and they're not looking at those college degrees when they're hiring, like you mentioned, Tim, you know, companies that are hiring there, they are wanting for their instructors, they're wanting work experience and, you know, people that can work with young men and young women, and teach them diesel and auto repair and collision and things like that, that have some experience. And, I know two men that have quit city and state jobs, which are in Wyoming. Those are usually about some of the best jobs you can get, and have just quit them, walked away to go teach at WyoTech, and because it's teaching the next generation, you know, passing on those skills, and so it is encouraging. The community colleges, you know, that. They are growing. They are growing as fast, if not faster, than the university out here, because more and more people are seeing that, yeah, hey, I'm going to go learn a trade. I'm going to go learn a skill. I'm going to go take go to the community college, get a 2-year degree in whatever, surgical tech, or, you know, they do some of the shop classes, you know, the welding and electrical and those type things. And many more are doing that and seeing the need for that. You know, what's the saying? I don't know. I'm sure you guys have seen it. I've seen it on shirts and trucks and everywhere else. And it's, dirty hands, clean money. And that's almost a movement that, you know, is going around that a lot of people are, you know, working class are relating to. Dirty hands, clean money. You know, they're working. they're not making the money off the investments.
Well, Paul's awful quiet over there. What's going on in your world, Paul? What do you see happening?
I'm listening to the professional. I'm trying to learn something. Well, you know, we're talking here. We're talking about labor, but you know, you get a job for decent money, and then they take 40% of away from you. The income tax has to go. We aren't bonded into slavery with this system, and it's a spiritual bankruptcy is what we've got here, because they have no, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. It's that simple. But, you know, you see people drive around under their sign on their motorhome, spending my children's inheritance. You know, that's a cold-blooded son of a bitch is what it is, because they don't care about the future. They're just, and we, it's all about lovers of self, the Bible talks about, and this is what we're dealing with there for the most part. You know, there's some salt of the earth people out here yet, but there's a whole bunch of people that make money off doing absolutely nothing and stealing our labor. And that's got to stop. And it's got to start in the house of the Lord. The churches are basically worthless. They're just social clubs. They ain't teaching the truth. And you go in there and teach the truth and see how friendly they are. You know, they, God is love. Yeah, you say something truth, you see how lovely they are. They're venomous. It's a spiritual bankruptcy. You know, the Bible says, cut yourself off from Babylon before you suffer its sudden and swift destruction. And that's what we're watching right now. Now, there's going to be survivors. I don't know how or what, but, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, that's the news media. And Biden, and that's what they are. They put this thing out, you know, we'll shut the railroad and the trucks down. Well, you know, people get fearful. Well, you know, God fed us some manna once, and I think he might have to do it again before this is over. Because this thing is falling apart. You know, there's no moral fibers. You know, there's no righteousness in the people whatsoever. Now, there's always some salt earth people out there that are going to take over, but there's going to be a huge amount of people that are going to suffer destruction.
Amen. Amen. Boy, if there's ever been a time, you know, to be, I mean, we're all in the world, but not of the world. It's certainly today. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, brothers. This is Patrick. I'm just kind of listening in today. And, you know, beautiful Sunday, sunny morning here. It was a little cold, got some snow. You know, you guys are talking about, Jason was talking about, schools, and they're not teaching welding. You know, I've been a welder for, I don't know, 35 years or so. And, yeah, that's right. Up here in Minnesota, probably about 20 years ago, I think it was that, a lot of these, trade schools, Votech, you know, they dropped their welding program because there just wasn't, you know, there was an overabundance of welders at the time, and not, you know, not enough jobs. And so they just dropped them, you know, and it kind of got into the computer things. And, you know, now we have an overabundance of computer programmers working at McDonald's and things like that. But yeah, so now we're, you know, the industry is hurting because, we can't find any welders. And, you know, so they've resorted to, you know, pulling high school kids out of their, you know, welding classes and, you know, bringing them into the shop and stuff like that. And, you can't find skilled welders anymore. So, you know, they sent a lot of our manufacturing over to China. So, but, you know, you can't send everything over to China, to build. I mean, we've had products, you know, our company's got, manufacturing companies over in India, you know, they've built products for us. You know, we're in the oil and gas industry, and before sending to the customer, they sent the product to us to inspect. And a lot of times we've just, you know, we've had to tear it all apart and rebuild it. You know, I don't know what they were thinking, any cost savings that they had or thought they were going to get. Just went out the window. That's happened many a time. So, but, yeah, you know, it's kind of funny out there. You know, we're, you know, hurting for people, and yeah, and you're right. You know, there is a lot of people who are just kind of sitting around, you know, with this COVID stuff. You know, they were, they got laid off, and then they got their extra $600 on top of what they were getting, and they, I don't want to go back to work, you know, so now here we sit. And, you know, they created the inflation, you know, you're talking about Janet Yellen, you know, you Americans just spend too much money. Well, you guys are the ones that are printing it, you know, it's the federal government is spending it, and you're printing it, and of course the inflation, you know, it's basic. You don't need to have a degree in economics to know that you start printing money like crazy, that it puts too much money in circulation, and things are going to, the cost of things are going to go up.
Amen. Amen. I saw a deal about a month ago that they said, well, to fix this inflation, what we need to do is get rid of 4 million jobs in this country. We need to lay off 4 million people. And it just is, it's absolute insanity. But again, their look on it is not ours. It's not. Well, Brother Patrick, thanks. Thank you for the call, and thanks for the comments, brother.
You guys have a nice weekend.
All right. God bless, brother. Well, lines are open, 307-745-5913. Saw this headline. A recent poll found that about 6 million Americans are carrying a firearm daily, and that 16 million Americans carry a gun at least once a month if they're not carrying every day. And that has doubled. From 2015 to 2019, it doubled, and it's expected when the latest numbers are in to have doubled again just in the last 3 years instead of the 4 years before. And so, you know, we're seeing that, I think, as a result of the lawlessness that's in the land, as a result of these liberal, ungodly policies of, well, it's just lawlessness. It is. And so I think that in itself is a type of awakening among some people. Thoughts on that, guys?
Well, I know it's gotten also a lot easier to obtain a concealed weapons permit, too. And that's my wife just recently got hers. I mean, and it was, you know, it was there was a class involved, and did that safe handling of firearm basically, and within a week after applying for her license, she had it. When I got mine 15-20 years ago, it was you know, it was do the class, and it was a lot harder, it was a lot more intense, and then you had to go through the background check, and I think it was taking 3 or 4 months to get that back. And They've made it a lot easier. They've streamlined it. A lot of these places have opened up the constitutional carry. And, you know, there was, like, recently I checked, cause I was going to be working in Tennessee for a while, and, wanted to, know what I had to do to be able to carry in Tennessee. And they said that if you got a license to carry where you're at, then you can carry in the state of Tennessee concealed. And, a lot of changes on that front, and a lot of people are, you know, pro gun, pro Second Amendment, and that's exciting. And you know, even the way that the background checks and everything are going through so much faster. It used to be the waiting period and all that kind of stuff, even in the state of Colorado, and now it's, you know, 30 minutes, and it's a done deal. So that's encouraging, and you know, I encourage people that, you know, like she's been wanting to do it for a while, and my wife, my brother, and a couple of our friends all decided to go ahead and do the class, and they did the class one evening and all got their concealed weapons permit. You know, and I encourage anybody that, you know, if you get something like that and you are carrying, that learn how to use it. You know, there's a lot of people that are out there that are carrying guns that really don't know how to use it, and they don't practice, they don't they don't shoot. And if you're going to do it, you know, learn how to use it. It's, you know, it's, something that if you're going to carry and walk around with it, be proficient with it. Use it once in a while. Practice once in a while. Get out. Enjoy it. It's good therapy.
Amen. Amen. And there's half the nation is constitutional carry now, 25 states. Alabama constitutional carry law goes into effect January 1st, 2023, and that'll make 25 states that have adopted a constitutional carry framework. And that, like you said, Jason, that is encouraging. It really is. And you see, even though the media tries to hide it, you see time and time again, one of the latest was, what was it in Chicago? Guy goes to carjack a woman. She pulls a gun and just blasts him right through the eyeball. And he ain't going to carjack no more. And it's simple as that. You know, the government is, you know, the police force has changed. You don't see the to serve and protect anymore. You know, they're law enforcement officers, and their law is not to protect. It's to do the report, and so it is. It's encouraging, and yeah, we all agree with Jason. You know, if you haven't done that, by all means, look into doing it. If you're so inclined, we would suggest it. And but do take the classes and become proficient with it. You know, so you know what you're doing. We do have an obligation. The word tells us that if we don't prepare, provide for our own, we're worse than a non-believer. And part of that providing is providing safety. And you know, whether it's caring and keeping your doing your best to keep your family safe. Whether it's praying for them every day, teaching them, like Jason talks about, these boys coming up, you know, making sure that they understand a good work ethic and preparing them to, you know, to be out there. And it's what we have to do. It is.
I'm astounded at how many of these college-age kids, I guess I don't know any other word for it, are out there carrying on like they believe that when they have a job at a place, and I'm not necessarily talking about this big corporate entity, but when they have a job, they think that they own part of the business, that they should receive
yes,
you know, everything. And it just leaves me scratching my head. I see this go on, and it's like, well, but they want to take, never give. And it's like, well, if you don't take care of that man or that person to take care of their business, you won't have a job. You know, I mean, it's like, and we see that stuff go on. We see them, do a lot of things like that. And it's like, that's, to me, that's a work ethic they're involved too. And I'm like, Jason, if you can't get in there and do that man's job and take that man's money, then you need to quit, you know, walk away. I mean, it's one of those, you don't own the factory. You didn't put the effort into creating it. And if it's that big a deal to you, then you need to go do that. But, and there's nothing wrong with that aspect either, but to think that this person is just supposed to give you what they've worked for, borders on total ridiculous. It's ungodly. The laborer is worthy of his hire, yes, but that's the end of it. It's up to the guy who owns the business. I'm always reminded of, I don't know where it's at right at the moment, but the story of the guy who hired those people and paid one the same rate for half a day as he did for a full day because he needed the help. And none of them owned the vineyard, but he was the guy who set the rates and said, and they were under no obligation to go work for him. But then at the end of the day, this guy's whining because this guy, he only worked a half a day. He got the same money as I did. Well, you know, whatever, you could have left. We see that going on right now all over the country and all over you. And it's a lie straight out of the pit of hell that these people have been taught.
That's right.
Nobody's stopping you from going out and building, you know, popsicle sticks or rubber bands or whatever it is. If you're so smart, I mean, just go right ahead. Otherwise, if you're hired to do a job, do your job and shut up. You know, I mean, it's,
yep.
we've run into a lot of this
whiny, belly achy. These kids, they don't have any, and not just kids. I mean, there's guys my age that are that way. It's like, I'm tired. Well, you don't quit when you're tired. You quit when you're done. You know, I mean, come on. It's one of those aspects of moving forward and moving on. And everybody else there is tired too, and they're still trying to go. So put your shoulder to the wheel and push. I was looking at these China riots, though, a little different note. I bet, there's a lot of things going on over there right now. That's huge over there. I mean, we're kind of insulated from some of it, but, it's getting really dicey. You guys been seeing any of that go on over there or that kind of stuff? I'm just curious.
I've seen a little bit of it. You know, what little bit's been reported. You don't see much on the mainstream media. But they are quite upset but the government's not really just letting them protest either. They're cracking down pretty hard from a few things that I've seen. Much as how Venezuela did, you know, they let them protest a little bit, and then pretty soon the rubber bullets and the tear gas turn to the real thing, and, you know, they'll take the tanks and armored vehicles and just run them over and scatter them out, and I've seen some of that there as well.
I'll take a look at it with this, get a permit to carry a gun, because I took the class and everything, and I never got it, because I don't really need a permit. But God, he told me to buy a sword. In early America, it was required that you had a gun. And who's trying to disarm me? You get a permit from them. They know all about you then and stuff like that. I just don't like one. And I can't argue with you guys. You know, it's important that you defend yourself, but I don't need a permit to defend myself. I need a judge that will defend my rights. That's what I need, because they don't make law. They're supposed to be a referee. You know, the law goes back to the Bible, and that's where it starts. And this is, they pass all these laws and stuff. It ain't really laws. It's just an ordinance, outside of the law. So, that's my take on it, but I'm not going to argue with you too much.
Well, you'll get no disagreement from me on that, Paul.
Right.
I think you're 100% accurate. I at one particular point, I still feel exactly the same way. I'm always excited to see constitutional carry pass, because that's the one where the government doesn't really get, they just recognize that, and it's there whether they recognize it or not. I agree, and I do think, though, at one particular point in time, I did. Kind of occurred to me that the good news is those numbers are so astounding that somebody somewhere is probably cowering in a corner going, oh my gosh, you know. Well,
that's right.
So there is that, but I can understand what you're saying. I don't have any problem with that either.
Well, I can't, and well, you know, but on the other hand, I got arrested for not having a permit and carrying a weapon illegally. And I know that, you know, did I win? Did the judge rule in my favor? Yeah, eventually, but it still ended up costing me thousands and thousands of dollars to get through the whole thing. Did I do anything wrong? No. They thought I did, and it just basically it turned into a whole fiasco. And the reason that, you know, I wanted my wife to get one is because I didn't want her to go through that. And if she got caught, I didn't want her to go through getting arrested, or if somebody had accidentally seen her gun, or if it was in her vehicle or in her purse or anything like that. Didn't want her to have to go through what I had to go through. And it should be statewide, nationwide, and we shouldn't have to have any permits or anything like that. But the way that I look at it is, after being arrested, they pretty much figured everything out about me anyway. So,
I'm not going to argue with you, but, you know, Michigan was looking at not needing no permit to carry either. You know, it's going to come up a couple times. I haven't gone through yet, but, you know, there's stuff going on out there that's kind of positive. But the news media is always trying to keep you fearful. You know, like they saved us from the rail strike, you know. That's all they do is sell bad news, you know. And the gospel is the good news, and not many people want the good news.
Amen to that. Well, Tim, like you said, lots going on overseas, kind of shifting, like you talked about China, and I don't know if you saw it. I know Jason's talked about this before, but saw this headline this week. The Netherlands is set to forcibly close 3,000 farms to comply with the European Union environmental mandate to slash emissions. And just more of the, it's not good news other than it, you know, famines tend to drive people back to God. And, it seems like that the Dutch are just wanting, at least the leaders, I think they've probably, like Egypt, got a king or a pharaoh that doesn't know Joseph's God. And it's like, let's just, you know, let's close down the food production. The Netherlands, the world's second largest farm exporter. They lead the world in farm-based exports, flowers, dairy products, eggs, meat, vegetables. You know, another one of the breadbaskets, like the Ukraine is, of Europe. And, Vanderwall says we just got to shut down these farms. They're bad for the economy. They're bad for the world. Blah, blah, blah. And, farmers are protesting. They had, I think that was you brought that up earlier in the year, Jason, about the thousands of farmers with their tractors, created like a 700-mile all the way across the country, a big traffic jam protest right at rush hour, so the farmers aren't happy about it, but you know they're most of them are like most of the farmers here in this nation. They're on government subsidies you know the government, they say there's no better offer coming. But you know, we have to reduce our nitrogen pollution, so we're shutting down the farms. And anyway, it just seemed pretty insane to me that they're doing that, you know, looking the possibility of a worldwide food crisis coming up. You know, the fighting's been going on in Ukraine since February, and, you know, there just ain't going to be as much food coming out of the Ukraine because there ain't been as much planted, with the fighting that's going on. And, you know, that impact might still be a few months off as far as the food impact on the world. But the impact is going
to
be there.
Well, they're trying to destroy it. They're doing it really good. And the trouble is the people have fallen for it. You know, like people are just paranoid over COVID and stuff. You know, I went up north and talked to a guy. He said, well, you're the only salesman that came and see us. I mean, the whole corporation just shut down and go hide in their tents, you know. Well, God said that a hair falls in my head. He don't know about it. I said, if I die because I won't take a COVID shot, I guess so be it if I'm stubborn. But that's a real possibility. But I think after you read the book on vaccinations, I think he's right. And I guess I agree with him.
Yeah, amen.
So, but it's terrible how easy the sheep are led, you know. They look to this government as their God. You know, I talked to a guy the other day, too. He said, well, we got to put up with this government four more years. And it just struck me. He said, you're looking to the wrong God for your salvation. You know, I didn't say it, but it just, in my mind, I said, you're looking to the wrong God for salvation. So, you know, you read the Book of Judges, and they stand and turn back to the idolatry. You know, the guy comes straight around, they kept going back to it, you know, and this is where we're at today. They're showing how ugly they are. If you can't see it, it's your problem, because they are definitely out there to destroy us.
Amen to that.
Yep, that's a fact. And even if it destroys them, they don't care. They're, you know, I mean, well, what was the old saying? Cutting off their nose despite their face. I mean,
that's how it is. It is. And they do all they can they're doing all they can to do it. Saw this headline this morning. Britain has had 44,000 illegals come in via boat this year, and they call that an invasion. And, November, we had 206,000 apprehensions on the southern border. Estimated 2 million will make it into this country this year. Illegal invaders from the southern border, and that's immigration. Just the double-mindedness, because the people see that, and, oh, yeah, well, invasion, yeah. No, these are immigrants. I heard that on CNN, immigration. Always been that way, because the enemy does that, and they are, if nothing else, diluting down this nation by the changing demographics, and just an absolute invasion, it is, yeah, the only recourse we have is to cry out to God. That's for sure. And so, Remnant, as we're wrapping up this morning, we sure hope that you're doing that. That you include that in your prayers. That more people's eyes will be opened. You know, the Word says, God says, "Would you rather have me come at you with what is it? With a rod, or with compassion?" And that choice is up to us. That choice is up to each and every person. Do you want to humble yourself before God, or do you want to be humbled? One of the other is going to happen. And, you know, when we are humbled before God, we should learn that lesson, and then do our best to be humble before God, and to look to His Word and His way, and to trust Him, to fear Him instead of the Uncle Sam God, the man-made small G gods and idols of the land. But it's up to God's people. You're either going to get a rod, or you're going to get compassion. There's no getting around it. There's not. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We are out of time. Hope you guys all have a blessed weekend, and Remnant, we hope that and pray that for you as well. And we do want to invite you to join us at church tomorrow. You can do that at on your smartphone, on your computer at home, whatever. Scriptures4America.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. Join us. We'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth message that is just prophetic, that more than likely we will see it coming true today. We'll have a new live message for you as well. We'll give you the opportunity to partake of communion with us. We hope you'll do that. We hope you'll join us again. That's at scriptures4america.org. We'll see you there. God bless.
Rollin', 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanned.